Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter, man sagt das Kedushin, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Vav. So until now we spoke about different kinds of kinyanim. Now we're going to be introduced to a kinyan, which we have not talked about till now, and that's called kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin, the chances are you have seen a kinyan chalipin. Did you ever go with your father to sell the chametz? And the Rav says, pick up my pen, pick up my hat. What are you doing? Why are you picking up the Rav's hat? Is he looking for something underneath it? No, what's technically happening is you get the Rav's hat, and the Rav gets your chametz or the rights to sell your chametz, which of course he is going to continue to sell to a non-Jew. The word chalipin means to switch. Chalaf means instead of. So, let's say Reuven has a hat and Shimon has a pair of shoes, and they decide to switch. Reuven takes the shoes, and as soon as Reuven takes the shoes, automatically Shimon gets the hat. That's called kinyan chalipin. We're assuming that the value of the hat and the value of the shoes are the same. Well, that's a simple switch. But remember what we learned about in the previous Mishnah? When we talk about the kinyan of kesef, let's say, we're not necessarily talking about paying for it. For example, if I'm buying a field, so I give him some money, and I say, okay, this is the kinyan kesef. The seller and the buyer agree, now the field is mine. I still owe him the money for the field. So if I bought a field for $100,000 and I give him a dollar, that's kinyan kesef, the field is mine, but I still owe him the rest of the money. With chalipin, it could also work that way. You're getting the Rav's hat. That doesn't mean that his hat is worth the same amount as your chametz. Or you're picking up the Rav's handkerchief. They used to use like a handkerchief kind of a thing. That's why a lot of times kinyan chalipin is called a kinyan sudr. Sudr means like some kind of a scarf or something like that. It doesn't mean that the scarf is worth the amount that you're getting, but it is a kinyan. So I may be buying something from someone. He picks up my item. That something becomes mine. I still may have to pay him the value of it. But this was the kinyan. Having said that, let's see our Mishnah. Kol hanase domim be'acher, kivon shezocha zeh, nischayev zeh b'chalifov. In other words, you know what it means? Kol hanase domim be'acher, the Gemara says? It means movable objects. Kol hanase domim be'acher means anything that you have to assess its value in order to use it as payment. So if I want to give you my hat, and you're going to give me something, well, how much is the value of a hat? You need an expert to say, how much is this hat worth, this particular hat? So that's called something which is nase domim be'acher. Someone's going to have to assess what the value of this hat is. It's not just a hat. It's basically any movable object, with the exception of currency. If I take out a silver dollar, I don't need anyone to assess the value of a silver dollar. It's a silver dollar. But anything else, if it's a hat or a shoes or any metaltalim in the world, I need someone to tell me exactly how much it's worth. So kol hanase domim be'acher, which is basically any metaltalim, any kind of movable object, kivon shezocha zeh nischayev zeh b'chalifa. So if Reuven and Shimon make up that they're exchanging a hat for shoes, as soon as one gets the hat, kivon shezocha zeh, automatically nischayev zeh b'chalifa. Once he takes my hat, the responsibility of the shoes now is on me. It automatically becomes my shoes. He takes my hat, automatically his shoes are mine. Ah, Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy. The shoes are mine. Even before I physically take the shoes, they're mine. But guess what? What if those shoes get stolen? What if those shoes are lost? What if it's an animal that died? It's my problem. Not his. Because once he took the hat, the shoes are mine, and if they're lost, it's my loss. Ketzad, what would an example be? Hechlev shar b'parah, says the Mishnah. I meet my friend, I say, you know, I have an extra ox. He says, you know, I have an extra cow. Oh, you want to switch? Oy chamar b'shar. Or, let's say, chamar b'shar. I want to give him my donkey, he's going to give me his ox. So, kivan shezach hazeh, wants one of them. He's going to take as a kinyan the animal. When I take his shar, mischayev zeh b'chalifa, my donkey is automatically his. Why does the Mishnah have to give us two mishalim, a shar that's exchanged with a parah, as well as a chamar that's exchanged with a shar? So the Tiferes Yisrael explains. Shar and a parah are basically the same thing. Just the shar is the zacha, the parah is the nekeva. A chamar and a shar are two completely different animals. So the Mishnah wants to tell us that the same would be true in both cases. Now the Mishnah tells us as follows. Rishus HaGvoya, when it comes to Hegdish, Hegdish does acquire movable objects bekesef with money. If the Gizbar, the treasurer of Hegdish, gives money for a behemoth for the purpose of Hegdish, once he gives that money, even if the behemoth is on the other side of the world, it already belongs to Hegdish. We don't need, Hegdish does not have to do any of the kinyonim that a person would have to do, like Mashiach and so on. The Yerushalmi says this is learned from the pasuk Lashem Haaretz Imlaya. The entire world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So wherever this shar is, if Hegdish is buying it, it's already in the Rishus of Hashem. One of the ways you can be kind to something, anyone could be kind to something, is through Kinyan Chatzar. It's in my Chatzar. So the whole world is Hashem's Chatzar. So once again, this is a major difference between Hegdish buying something and a regular person buying something. When Hegdish buys a shar, as soon as the treasurer gives the money, automatically the shar is the property of Hegdish. But the Rishus HaHedyit b'chazaka, if a regular person buys a shar, just by giving the money, it's not his. He has to take possession over it. Let's say Mashicha. If I'm buying a shar, and I gave money, but I didn't do Mashicha yet, the seller can still change his mind. No, I don't want to sell it to you, but I gave you money. Here, take back your money. You're not supposed to do that. There is a klala for a person who already took the money and then changes his mind. The klala goes, Misha para me anche dar hamabel. He who punished the people of the dar hamabel for not keeping their word, umidar aflaga, and from the dar aflaga, that's the dar that built the great big tower. He will also pay back this person that doesn't hold his word. But if this person is not scared of the klala, I can't legally stop him from changing his mind. On the other hand, if I did mishicha, even if I didn't pay yet, none of us can change his mind, not the seller, not the buyer. If, let's say, I just made up with my friend I'm going to buy something, but I didn't give any money yet, and I didn't do mishicha, but we did make up that I'm going to buy it for a certain price, then you could change your mind. Both of us can change our mind, the buyer and the seller, and there's no klal, there's no mishapara. One more halacha, the Mishnah tells us, Amirasei lagavaya kimsirasei lahedyet. Amirasei, when a person just says, you know, I'm going to give this item to Hegdash, I'm giving it to Hegdash. Amirasei, he just said the words, like Amira vayoymer, lagavaya means to the rishus of Hegdash. That is the same as kimsirasei, as if he physically gave it over lahedyet to an ordinary person. Just like when I physically give the item to someone, that person is kaina it. When it comes to Hegdish, by saying I'm giving it to Hegdish, Hegdish is kaina it. So if someone says, shar zeh oila, this axe is an oila, or baya zeh Hegdish, this house is Hegdish, says the Bat Tanur, even if it's on the other side of the world, belongs to Hegdish. But if I made up with a person, that person would have to do Mashicha on the behema, or do a chazaka on the house. Here too, the Me'iri says, quoting the Yerushalmi, we know this from the pasuk L'shem Aretz Imlaya. When it comes to Hegdish, the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life to the world. So there is a kinyan called kinyan chatzar, even by a hedyet. If it's in my chatzar, I get it. So when it comes to Hegdish, the whole world is Hashem's chatzar. Again, we learn these mishnayos, but these are huge sugyas in the Gemara that people spend years on. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg. So let's chaz over our Mishnah. Our Mishnah began by telling us there's a kinyan called kinyan chalipin. Anything that has to be assessed, that its value has to be assessed, which is any movable object, but not coins. Coins has an automatic value. We do kinyan chalipin. One person picks up, let's say, an armashal of a hat, and automatically the other one owns his shoes. If something happens to those shoes afterwards, even if he never took it into his rishus, too late. It was already yours. By the way, you cannot do chalipin with money. You can't use coins to do chalipin. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. if it has to dafka be a keli, keli doesn't mean necessarily a pot. Does it have to be dafka a keli? Does it have to be a pen, a hat, a handkerchief? Or can you also do chalipin with peiros? That's a machloikas in Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes in the Gemara. Rav Nachman holds, no, can't use peiros, only a keli. Rav Sheshes says, you can even use peiros. So again, I told you, you go to the Rav next time. So you'll see sometimes, even by a chuppah, the Masad Kedushin will say, okay, pick up the yarmulke, pick up the handkerchief. They're making a kinyan. One person picks up the handkerchief and the other person accepts certain responsibilities on themselves. That's all under the category of different types of kinyan chalipin. So, I have a shor, you have a para, we switch. I have a chamar, you have a shor, we switch. Once one person takes one in the form of chalipin, automatically the other behema belongs to the other one, even before he pulls it into his rishos or does any type of a kinyan. When Hegdish buys something, it automatically belongs to Hegdish. Hegdish does not have to make this type of a kinyan. So if a gizber pays money for an animal, as soon as he gives money, the animal belongs to Hegdish. The other hand, a regular person has to take it into his rishos. And the Mishnah concluded by saying that if someone just makes a statement to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, Amirasi Legavaya, Kimsi Rasi Lehed, you just by saying it, that's the same as someone who hands something over when people make a kinyan amongst themselves.